It's Tuesday, August 19th, 2008, and you're watching Endpoint TV.
Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I have a real treat for you. We're going to talk about this mysterious thing you might have been hearing about called Oslo. Now, Oslo is a next-generation services and modeling platform that we're kind of working on right now. And at TechEd North America, we had David Chappell take the covers off of it just a little bit and kind of tell people about this thing that's coming. And it's very exciting. You'll hear a lot more about it at the PDC conference in October, but we're going to give you a sneak peek today and just have a conversation that David and I had at TechEd North America at the TechEd Fishbowl. So, let's check it out. Welcome back to the TechEd Fishbowl here at TechEd North America 2008. This is your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I'm joined by David Chappell, and welcome.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
It doesn't feel like TechEd unless I run into you. And we've run into each other at many of these around the world.
That's true.
It's always a delight.
Many more to come, I'm sure.
I'm sure we have. In fact, well, it's kind of exciting today because you had this big session today about this new thing, this a lot of people have heard about, but kind of wondered a lot of questions about this thing called Oslo. So let's start there with, what's your take on this? What is Oslo?
It's interesting. Oslo is a code name for a bunch of things. It's not a code name for a new release of some product. It's a code name for a variety of things that fit together in a fairly holistic way. So in my talk, I talked about three major aspects of Oslo. One of them is a generalized repository for storing information about your IT world in general, including machines, applications, people, all sorts of stuff. And there's a tool, a visual editor, associated with that repository to look at information. That's one big part. Second big part is a new version of Windows Workflow Foundation, WF, that takes advantage of this repository, but doesn't have to. New features for people who build straight WF apps as well. And the third piece, in some ways for me personally the most interesting, at least in the short run, is a new process server that's designed to provide a scalable, reliable host for WF and WCF applications. With WF today, you don't get a host process. You've got to build your own. And for some scenarios, that's fine, but for some, that's really hard. The process server is meant to be a standard host for a range of WF and WCF applications.
So it kind of sounds like, we're treading into what people used to call application servers. I know that term's kind of fallen out of favor, but I mean, essentially you've got some back-end process has got to run somewhere on some kind of server. And so you're right. Like today, if people go, I want to write this back-end thing, we tell them, you could write an NT service and host, you got to go write your own thing. It's kind of hard to do, right?
It is, yeah. And WF in particular is commonly used today, at least, for long-running processes. And so the support you want for that with compensation, with scalability. How do you make this thing be actually load balanced with persistence in some shared place? These are the kinds of things that the process server does for you.
Yeah, so let's go back to that first thing you mentioned, the repository, because I think this is kind of interesting. Some people have said, I get like there's been, in the past we talked about UDDI as kind of a repository of sorts, sort of registry of my services and things. Is it kind of like that, or what kind of things how does that compare?
That's a good question. In the short run, my own estimation is the process server and new WF are going to matter a good deal, I think. In the medium to longer run, my guess is the repository is going to have the longest impact. The word repository is really overloaded. Mm-hmm. When you say that word, everyone has their own sense of what it means. Microsoft commonly talks about this in terms of another overloaded word, the word model.
Right.
So in Microsoft's terminology, their nomenclature, they will say the repository contains models. And that's a way to think about it. Another way to think about it is to think of the repository as containing information about all sorts of things, computers, applications, service level agreements, business processes. The great thing about this is you have well-defined schemas in the repository, which you can extend, of course, but it comes with built-in schemas, for a number of these standard things in your IT world. And the repository lets you not just describe all this diverse information, it lets you link it together. and have a way to trace through all of this. And the visual editor provides a common tool to let you do things like this. So, for example, if someone comes to you and says, I've got this business process, and the SLA is not being met. Well, what do you do? You got to trace that through the right business process and the right application that supports that part of the process and find the machine it runs on and maybe look at the workflow that implements it and maybe look at the service that provides. This can involve talking to business analysts or the IT pros or the architect or the developer, all of whom have their own view of the world, their own tools, their own perspective. The repository provides a common place to store all this stuff, to link it all together, and with the visual editor to have a common tool that lets you actually go through and answer these kinds of questions. You can start with the SLA, find the business process, find the app that supports that part of the process, find the machine, the data center, the administrator, talk to that person, find the workflow, find the service it exposes. You can work through all of this stuff in a cohesive way. So in the long term, it's reasonable to expect the repository to have really substantial impact. Even in the short run, it's got value. Although I think developers are more likely to see the process server and say, I want that right away.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think a lot of times the developers don't connect to the pain of the scenario you described because it largely happens outside their world. You know, the operations staff has to deal with these problems and, you know, occasionally they get involved in these. But I felt like... you know, many times there's not this connection between all the pieces, even just describing like what my app involves in total and, you know, what is it like to deploy it out and how it connects to the deployment environment and how it connected to the requirements that a business analyst did. Those connections don't really exist well today.
That's right. And they will with the repository. So, for example, there is a schema for applications which can be composite applications. The app can consist of this workflow and that workflow and this BizTalk app and this service exposed by SAP. You can define all those together. You can then deploy this in a straightforward way, spread across multiple machines potentially, using the process server. And Microsoft will describe this as being model-driven. What they mean is there are well-defined, schematized definitions of all these parts of the process. So, for example, you associate an application, which can be composite, with an environment, a definition of a world, machine, software, in which the app can run. You can then just say, deploy this app on that environment. And this thing called the lifecycle manager in the process server will make it happen.
You know, and when I often talk to people about this and we, you know, talk about models and things, they go, oh, well, you know, we kind of do something like that. We go and we make a Visio file, and we describe some things in a Visio document, and we have a repository. We save that document in this repository. And I say, yeah, but it's more than that, right? I mean, it's more than just here's a file I stored in a shared place, right?
It is, exactly. I mean, the example you gave of Visio, it may not make the first release, although Microsoft tells me they'll work hard to make this possible. But other tools can certainly use the repository, not just this generalized visual editor. So, for example, in the first release, they're hoping that Visio support will be there. So you'll be able to do what you just described, build a business process in Visio, store it in the repository, in the Oslo repository, and then use that in, for example, the visual editor, use that with other tools potentially, and at some point, certainly with Visual Studio, to tie all these things together in a cohesive way.
But the repository kind of understands this thing you built in Visio more than just an opaque file. Like, I don't know what that is. But it understands that it's describing some kind of process or model that can be linked to other things, which I think is super valuable.
Yeah, that's exactly right. The repository has these schemas to this one for process. And so Visio can potentially save a process model into not just a graphics file, into an instance of the process schema, the repository. Mm-hmm. So there's much more there than just this graphical stuff.
The other thing that struck me as a distinct possibility, I don't know if it occurred to you or not, but a lot of times I was just talking to some people this afternoon. They said, well, you know, we work in this large organization, lots of teams around the world. We want to make kind of a reference architecture and say, like, if you want to build this kind of app, it should look like this. Well, when you describe that today, it mostly exists of a lot of documents and some diagrams maybe built in Visio. And I kind of wondered, you know, what if you could model this reference architecture, store it in this Oslo repository, and it's kind of an unbound architecture, right? It exists in the repository, but it hasn't been deployed to any machines or whatever. And maybe you could even think of it as like a starting point for
Here's our reference web application for intranet web apps, you know, and you could use that as a starting point. But I think the richness of the models in Oslo might make something like that very possible.
Yeah, I think you're right. And there's a relatively generic language for the repository for defining models, schemas, whatever you want to call them. I want to be careful here because this notion of this new language in Oslo has gotten some visibility out there. And there's been lots of speculation that, oh, there's a new modeling language in Oslo. There's a new programming language in Oslo.
Right,
there's
right.
a new language like UML in Oslo. No, no, and no. There's a language for describing schemas in the repository, primarily. It will perhaps be more than that at some point. But initially, at least, this language is about describing schemas in the repository in the main. And so people should not think of this as some kind of UML competitor or something like the OMG's MDA. The word model is so overloaded that these words are used in a variety of ways. But back to your scenario, one could certainly use this language to define that kind of more specialized application schema for your environment.
Yeah, and well, and I would, as long as we got this, these models, we can describe all sorts of things. You know, you could model, imagine modeling the implementation of a service as a workflow. So I think this is really about making things that exist today in sort of implicit ways. You know, they exist in code and in config, and they're sort of buried in details. But if I could bring them up and make them very visible so we can look at a model and understand what they are and what they do, I think that's got a lot of value.
I think so, too. It's one of the value propositions that WF has always had, that you have this visibility into your logic in terms of activities. And in the Oslo repository, there is a schema for workflows. There are schemas for activities. You can do exactly this. In fact, the visual editor actually lets you build new workflows out of existing activities. So potentially, someone who is somewhat technical but not really a developer could actually build new workflows, new logic, directly with this visual editor and the Oslo repository.
So, you know, one of the things that, of course, people are wondering about is, okay, when is this all going to happen? You know, is it going to change my world and, you know, so forth. So you mentioned that it's not all about one product, but it kind of comes in some different waves of releases or groups of things. What's the vision about that?
Well, there are no dates yet. Microsoft tells us that we should probably look for a CTP sometime this fall around PDC. Okay, so we'll see. But in terms of ordering of the technologies, they have said that the new release of WF will appear with the next major releases of the framework, codename 4, and the next release of Visual Studio. Then after that, the next piece is the repository and the visual editor, along with a part of the this process server. Then the third piece to ship will be the rest of the first version of the process server with this thing called the Lifecycle Manager. And the intent, they tell me, is to ship these three chunks of technology in fairly close succession, as much so as possible.
Okay, so we shouldn't expect, you know, 3 years apart or anything
not
like that.
Not at all.
Yeah,
in
yeah.
fact, they're all being worked on simultaneously. They're not sequential efforts.
Right.
It's happening right now, but the schedules look like, I'm told, that the release will be in that order.
So I think one other really important thing that people have to realize is that this doesn't force anybody to do anything dramatically different. I mean, like if somebody said, this doesn't sound like something I want, or I don't want to deal with that, is .NET going to abandon me? Is it going to blow away what I currently do? No, that's not going to happen,
no.
right?
No. If you build ASP applications and you use stored procedures for your logic or build your logic yourself in ASP, this whole world is going to be invisible to you. It might be attractive. You might say, you know, for my military business logic, I could do some very cool stuff. If I chose to build with this Oslo stuff, use the process server, maybe. You don't have to at all. No.
Yeah. Okay. And so we should look for a lot of news about this in the fall, though. Of course, in PDC, we expect that there's going to be much more detail about it at that time, right?
That's what we're told. yeah. I look forward to that.
I fully expect that we'll be having more conversations about it, you know, at PDC and whatnot. And
I hope so.
It's a very exciting time, you know, to be in the ground floor of something like this. I'm certainly really excited about it, and I look forward to chatting more with you about it later.
As do I.
So that's the story here from TechEd, and we'll have more about Oslo in the future, but stay tuned for more from TechEd North America.
Oslo. Interesting stuff. Will it work? Will it fail? Who knows? We're gonna find out, right? We're working very hard on it now, and it's a very interesting piece of technology. Certainly, things are gonna change between now and when it ships. And you know, you've heard stories like this before, but these are hard problems, and they are very interesting solutions that are coming. So, hope you enjoyed that. For Endpoint TV, I'm your host, Ron Jacobs.